November 10th, 2013, afternoon service. Today we are going to review Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We are not to live in transgressions, nor have spirit of guile. If we live that way, our sins remain in us. Even if we try to correct ourselves, we will never be free from sins. You know the book or the movie of Victor Hugo's Les Miserables? I read it while I was still a student. There is an old wealthy man who is doing many good works, and a detective finds him and thinks that this old wealthy man is actually the criminal whom he has been looking for years. There is a scene where a village man fell under a horse carriage, and people needed to lift up the carriage to save the man's life. The old man, who was known for his incredible strength even when he was in prison, came forth to help the victim and lifted up the carriage and saved the man. The detective witnessed the whole scene and confirmed that this man was indeed Jean Valjean that he was after. And the detective chased him and chased him to the end of the earth, and even this old man now is a righteous man. I believe the people in this world is like that, that detective. We cannot erase our past, and people do not forget our sinful deeds. The Bible does not say that God can change the past, but God can cover our sins so that they become invisible. Like, I have a scar on my lower belly from an appendix operation. And some who saw the scar told me that the stitches are done very badly. But no one can see when I am here, because I wear a shirt and a sweater and a jacket. It is not for other people to see. And that is the meaning of covering the sins. The scar is there for as long as I live, and so are the sins. They're there, but people don't see it, nor God sees it, because they are covered by His mercy. It says, blessed is the man, indicates that this blessing of covering sins is not for everyone. If people don't repent and continue to live in their own way, God does not cover his sins, but the sins will be revealed for all to see. But if we repent and choose to walk away from the sins and old way of life, God covers them. And with God's covering, no one can see it. God does not allow people to see it. We all make mistakes, and we all sin and regret things of the past. I am not making this up. This is what the Bible says. But like I said, this is not for everyone, but only for those who choose to walk with God. The verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into drought of summer. Here David is in agony, saying words like bones waxed, roaring, heavy, and drought. Here he is in torment because he keeps his silence and not confessing his sins. But in verse 5, he finally says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. When we have things to confess, even some difficult things or things we don't necessarily agree, we need to confess. There is no benefit of keeping in silence. Otherwise, you will be roaring all day long, like you have a toothache all day long. It is not pleasant. If you continue to deceive yourself and not admit your sins, God's hand will be heavy on you till you give in, and you dry up like drought, which is absence of water. The water is the Holy Spirit, So when the Holy Spirit is not working in your life, you stop growing and flourishing, and you will not understand things of God. The verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgave the iniquity of my sin. So when God is pointing out your sins, fighting with God does not benefit you in any way whatsoever. But acknowledging and admitting your sins is the only way to be forgiven and be blessed. God always instructs us to leave the wrong place you're in or the situation you're involved, and if you insist on doing your way, it would only bring you more troubles. It is like our parents punished us when we were acting badly, but rewarded us with a piece of chocolate or something when we were good. God has the similar trait. Even if we don't understand it, if we seek His way and His forgiveness, He will bless you. I have experienced this firsthand. Not sure if you call that a sin, but I started this work for the Lord in my 40s. But earlier, I was with another church, and I went to a summer camp with this church group, and I went to a hot spring with in Gunma Prefecture, and we joined with another big local church there. And after we finished the evening meeting, I went downstairs and I felt compelled to go into a sanctuary and pray. And as I prayed, I felt like God was telling me that I never had a real positive experience as a Christian because I never made myself useful. I really felt like God was speaking to me that night, and sort of became my turning point. And while I was praying, I also saw another man sitting a few pews away and also praying, and I felt like he was also having a conversation with God, but not sure what happened to that man afterwards. But my earnest prayer to God was to show me the way. So when He showed me the way, He told me to become a pastor, and I didn't like it. I argued with Him and I asked God how I were to support the family of four. But I obeyed, and God provided me, and He led me through. The verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. In a time when thou may be found means that there is a shelf life of promise when God is speaking to you. In other words, God does not tell you the same thing all your life. His message to you is constantly changing. So there is a time that God is pulling you or the door is open, but if you refuse to move in that time frame, you might not walk into the blessing God has for you. This concept of God's timing is also written in John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Shortly after this, Jesus stopped showing up in public places. He used to be in synagogues and in other public places and all these times before, but after a certain time, he stopped showing up. When there is a true light, and a true guiding, if you don't take advantage of if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, it may not be revealed to you anymore. So the decision to see the light when God gives you the chance is so important. So going back to Psalm 32, from the latter half of the verse 6, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Here the floods of great waters might surround you, but God is there to protect you when you choose to be in the light and to be in the blessed place. The verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. This is again talking about people whose sins are covered. He will give you the directions and he will guide you. This is so true. Your understanding will increase as you walk with God, and that is God's promise. What I did not know till I followed God wholeheartedly was that the gate is really small and narrow that leads to life. There are few who, and on top of that, it says there are few who find it. Jesus did not just say the path is narrow. He said two more things, like size of the gate and a small chance to enter it. And on top of that, he says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. I did not know the meaning of it before, but now I know. This destruction does not mean your flesh. Destruction is the opposite result of eternal life. This was the revelation I had as I chose to walk with God. This is not anything new or anything to be prideful, but I thought that without having this belief as a foundation, I could not walk as a Christian. He also said in other parts, if you gain the whole world, if you lose your soul. If you gain the whole world and if you lose your soul, what gain it would be? I don't think a person can own the entire world, not even a city like Tokyo, but even if he did, what good is it to have the whole city in your hand but to lose life? Not many people think about it too seriously, but everyone works so hard to own a house. But in the Bible, that sort of things all lose meaning. So I changed my life direction when I came to this realization. But such revelation comes from His mercy when we are trying to walk closely with God. It happened to me and it will happen to you too. The funny thing is, when reading the same Bible, people always have different conclusions, and many even choose destruction. That's why it says the gate is wide and wide is the path that leads to destruction. This is not only talking about non-believers. This includes Christians too, like Pharisees. The verse 9, be yet not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Horse and the mule wear bit, and by pulling the bit, they move to the direction by force. Not the most ideal way to be moved by God. This is like you do whatever you want for a while, and you get slapped by life and run back to God in crisis. And they're like horse or mule with no understanding. It's like coming to God come only by force. The verse 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that upright in heart. wicked will have many sorrows in life. When I was a lukewarm Christian, I believe I used to experience a lot more pains in my life. I was already Christian, so I cannot imagine how much more pains other non-believers were carrying in their lives. But more blessings will follow when you trust God. I see that in my life too. When I see myself and I look back how I was before, I believe that I have more peace and joy in my life. And that is the undeniable blessings from the Lord.